Welcome to the home of 100 to 1 Faith Radio. My name is Larry Gent, and this is our 8th coronavirus broadcast. Today's message is The Road to Nowhere. Our church buildings have been closed due to coronavirus concerns, but we are still raising our voices. Today we share the message for May 3rd from Grace United Methodist Church in the beautiful Hartwood community of Virginia. It's the fourth Sunday of Easter. Last week we celebrated Native American Ministries. Thank you to everyone who took time to view those videos and listen to the message about standing in the gap as a warrior today. If you haven't had a chance to do that, I recommend you check out our invitations from last week. But today the topic is The Road to Nowhere. Our scripture is from the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Now on that day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. While he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened to them on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Today, Emmaus is a mystery. We know where it was. The scripture says it was within 7 miles of the city of Jerusalem. Well, we know where Jerusalem is. We can draw a 7-mile circle around the city, and we know Emmaus has to be there, somewhere. But try as they might, archaeologists have never discovered it. It's not for want of exploring. This is one of the most explored and analyzed pieces of God's good earth. The problem is that it is also one of the most populated and historic places on earth. Many cities in the Holy Land have been built up and rebuilt on top of old cities. In Hebrew, the mounds that have grown up are called tells. You can see them all over the Holy Land. Tel Aviv, the first capital of Israel, is the best known of these cities. Others include Tel Megiddo, Tel Hazor, and Tel Beersheba, to name a few. By the time of Jesus, these cities had already been built and rebuilt dozens of times. In the 21st century, those biblical times have been buried by 2,000 years of historic construction. Under one of those mounds lies the remnants of Emmaus, but we may never know exactly where. So today, if you set off on the road to Emmaus, you would literally be on the road to nowhere. Now, these disciples knew where the city was. They knew where they were going. They knew where they were going to stay. They knew they'd get a good home-cooked meal when they arrived. But they were still on the road to nowhere. That's not a dispersion of their character. They had just been through one of the most dramatic events in human history. It's always difficult to lose a dear friend, but they watched their Savior, accused of false charges, publicly humiliated, stripped, beaten nearly to death, then nailed on a tree to die. They can well be forgiven for being stunned, dazed, and confused. How could they make sense of their world? How could they process all of that heartbreak and horror? Their world had been turned inside out and upside down. They felt powerless and pitiful. They were walking along with no real goal in sight. But they did a couple of things right. First, they didn't go it alone. They got together. And as they walked, they talked about Jesus. And just as he had promised them, wherever, whenever, two or three were gathered together in Jesus' name, Christ himself was suddenly in their midst. Their sorrow was palpable. It was so clear that it was the first thing Jesus said to them. Why the sad faces, y'all? And with that invitation, the disciples began to tell Jesus what was going on. And Jesus let them ramble. Oh, really? No. Seriously. Tell me more. They told Jesus everything they were thinking and feeling and wondering and doubting. And you know, those are all good things. When they arrived at the destination of their journey to nowhere, they made the best decision of their lives. They invited Jesus to come in. And in the act of breaking bread, they finally knew him. Now, this wasn't a sacramental meal. It was just a simple supper. But they brought Jesus into the midst of it, and that was enough. Even though they couldn't see him anymore, they knew he was there. They knew he was risen. They knew he was Lord, and they knew he was with them. When they got up from that table, they knew where they were going. They never walked a pointless road to nowhere again. They walked with Jesus from that day forward. I think we have a lot in common with the disciples on that road to nowhere today. Our world has been turned inside out and upside down. Our families have lost loved ones. This has been one of the most dramatic times in recent history. Some of our best and brightest have been laid low by a strange and unknown virus. The greatest nation in the world has been brought down by quarantine. We feel powerless and pitiful, with no clear goal in sight. We're on a road to nowhere. But there are still a few things we can do right. First, you don't have to go this alone. Even if we find ourselves in physical isolation, we can get together in ways that didn't even exist a few years ago. We can still get together in Jesus' name. And Jesus still asks us the same question. Why the long faces, y'all? What are you so sad about? Then we proceed to do exactly what those disciples did. We presume to tell Jesus what's going on. We tell God how hard this is, how worried we are, how helpless we feel, how unfair it all is. Don't feel bad about that. It's a good thing to carry your worries to Jesus. He's the only one who can really do anything about them. He's the only one who can really make sense of this crazy situation. But as you talk, take time to notice. You're not alone. Whenever two or three of us get together and talk about these things, Jesus is there in our midst. And if we take time to stop talking and listen, he'll even start to explain. All these things had to happen to humble the proud and to lift up those who have been humbled. Yes, it's hard on this sacramental Sunday to miss our time together at the Lord's table. But it's okay. As you break bread with a simple meal this evening, invite Jesus to stay with you. He'll be there in the breaking of the bread, and if you look closely, you'll be able to recognize him. Once you realize that Jesus is with you, even when you can't see what he's doing, even when you can't see his presence, you will still know that he's there. And you'll know where you're going. You will walk with Jesus every step of the way, and you'll never be on the road to nowhere again.